linen veil that separated the holy from the most holy. And that linen veil was thick. It wasn't like a curtain. It was very heavy, very thick, layer after layer after layer of fabric. Because behind that veil was the earthly manifestation of God Himself. Behind it was the Ark of the Covenant. A gopher wood ark with a... How many ever saw Raiders of the Lost Ark? You ever seen that movie? Amen. You're too young to even remember Raiders. We're going to have to educate all the young people here today. You got to rent Raiders of the Lost Ark. Amen. Have you seen it? You haven't seen it. See, they're just too young. Did you see it? You haven't seen it either. There's a screen here. You know, we could... Well, we wouldn't rent it to show Raiders, but... Amen. But in this Hollywood movie, this holy ark that was so dangerous. Well, it was dangerous then because the presence of the Lord, if angels had to be covered in His presence, regular human beings like us, we could not, if we're not celestial, even with celestial bodies, they had to be covered in the presence of God. He was so holy, the radiance of the glory from His goodness. So there was a linen veil, and that veil said, I'm a covenant-keeping God with you. I'm keeping covenant with you, but you can't have any kind of intimate, personal fellowship with me because you cannot come behind that veil. It was so holy, in fact, that the priest who went in once a year to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificed lamb on the mercy seat. Mercy seat was not like a chair. It was the lid to the ark. It was made of solid gold. It is a type of Jesus, full humanity and full divinity. The wood, His humanity. The gold, His divinity. God incarnate, God in flesh. And the mercy seat, it was molded to be flat, except there were two molded cherubim, two angels, and they're facing one another, but they're not looking at one another. And they're not looking up. They're looking down at where the blood is going to be sprinkled. Amen. And the priest, if he failed to offer the sacrifice, the judgment of God would come upon Israel. The whole nation, the judgment of God. And the only reason God honored any of the sacrifices was because they were a type and a foreshadow of what Jesus would do and complete on the cross when He came. And that priest had to do some things. He had to go through a ceremonial washing of himself. He had to get garments that have been washed and cleansed. Everything was preparing himself to go behind that veil. And if he didn't meet the qualifications for the washings and the preparations, he would walk behind there and be killed because of the disrespect and dishonor of the holy. He'd never walk out. So they tied a rope around him when he went in because it was crucial that he offered that sacrifice. They tied a rope around him and they put some bells on his garments to jingle. They could hear the bells jingling. They figured he was offering the sacrifice. He's doing his priestly work back there. Without the shedding of blood, no sacrifice for sin type of Jesus Christ. If the bells quit jingling and they don't hear him for a period of time, they can pull him out. Nobody can go get him, but they can pull him out. And there has to be a backup priest. And I'm going to tell you, if they pull that first one out, I'd go wash again. All right? How about you? Sometimes we fail to appreciate what we have because we fail to appreciate just how holy He is. He's a God that dwells in, listen, unapproachable light. And it was for their benefit that that veil was there. It was to keep them safe in that proximity to His presence. It said in loud terms, keep out, you are unworthy. But something happened when Jesus accomplished what He did on the cross for those that would believe upon Him. That big linen veil was rent from top to bottom. A lot of speculation how it occurred, because there was a great earthquake so much that rocks split in two. It could have shaken the temple. Whatever way God did it, He tore up the old contract. He didn't tear up the covenant or stop it. He established a new covenant in His blood that allowed us to come behind the veil. And it not only allowed us to come behind the veil into the presence of God without any kind of fear, trepidation, it allowed God to come from behind the veil and manifest Himself to us. This is an incredible thing that we have received, this new covenant. Can you say amen? That we could approach a holy God. You see, without any disrespect, call Him Abba Father. That's why the pattern prayer says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father, not just the Father of Christ, the Father of creation, but personally, as a Christian, my Heavenly Father. And to show the respect necessary, after acknowledging that kind of intimacy, we say, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means just like what holy means. It means set apart and to be highly, highly reverenced above all. Hallowed be thy name. And then the bowing to Him. Bowing to Him before believing Him for anything. Bowing, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you say amen? But it starts with acknowledging a paternal relationship with Him. And to have this kind of relationship with God, to be able to call Him our Heavenly Father. And not only call Him our Heavenly Father, but to have an intimate, personal relationship with Him. That we might call Him Abba Father. Won't you say that today? Just get used to the word Abba. You're probably not too used to that term. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I've heard a lot of people call Him Daddy God. Really? We could? Because He is our Abba. But I have a little bit of a problem with that myself. I know I have that relationship, but I want to make sure I honor Him. I want to make sure the hallowed be your name. I came up, I was preaching during the 80s and the Jesus movement and the hippies came in. Amen. I had a young man call me the other day and he was one of those, as he put it, long-haired hippie freaks. Amen. Not just because of long hair, this was a movement in that day. And he thanked me for accepting them into our church because he knew it would cost us some people that were putting such an emphasis on the outside without putting hardly any on the inside. Amen. That development of character wasn't there. Let me go back just a minute. I speak unto you as newborn babes in the Lord. Paul talked about them. He said, I couldn't give you meat, so I fed you with milk. And when they failed to grow, He said, I speak this to your shame. But when you should be mature enough to go out and witness and be a witness to others, you still have need. You can see the baby stage, that someone teach you what are the first principles of the oracles of God. And the Bible said we're to not do away with the foundation of baptisms and the foundation of all of the fundamentals of the faith, but we're to build on that foundation, leaving and going on to perfection or maturity, not sinless perfection, but spiritual maturity. Speak unto you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You recognize your power and authority as a child of God. But I speak unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. You have known him. You have come to know your heavenly Father intimately and personally. And Jesus kept pointing his disciples to the Father to such a degree that they wanted to see the Father. They said, Lord, show us the Father. You talk about him all the time. Show us the Father, and it will suffice us. We'll be satisfied if you show us the Father. And he said, have you been with me all this time and you say you haven't seen the Father? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Somebody told me while my dad was still alive, I think I turned 60 back then. I'd love to be 60 again now that I'm 76. Thank you. That's poor man's handkerchief. Hallelujah. While he was still alive, somebody came to church for my 60th birthday that hadn't seen me in a while. And they came up and they said to me, they said, Pastor, you're looking more and more like your daddy. And I said, oh, man. My daddy's old. So that means I'm really looking old. But when we begin to take on the character of Jesus Christ, we're taking on the character of our Heavenly Father. And when we mature in the Lord, we know about it. When I first got saved, who do I pray to? Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to God? How does this work? Well, Jesus said, amen, we're to pray to the Father in His name. He said, I've spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time is coming. I won't use parables. I won't use word stories. Holy Spirit's going to be given. You're going to know things by the Holy Spirit. And when that time comes, he said, I do not say that I shall pray for you. He makes intercession so that we can pray to the Father. But he doesn't do the praying for us. He said, so ask when that occurs that you might receive, for the Father himself loveth you. And in John's gospel, he said he prayed that God would love us like he loved him. How can that be, Brother Taylor? How can God love me? I understand how he can love Jesus. He was sinlessly perfect. And I was perfectly sinful. And yet while I was perfectly sinful, he loved me enough to give his only son so that I could be saved and so I could be pardoned and so I could be accepted in the beloved. What an incredible gift salvation is, that a holy God that we have offended, a holy God that we have transgressed his laws, desired to forgive us to such a degree, to show mercy to such a degree, that he would give his only begotten son. I've got a mic that I can drop today, compliments of Brother Taylor. And there's a mic drop moment. I keep calling it the logic of the cross. What more can be said? The Apostle Paul summed it up. Romans 8 and verse 32. If he loved us enough to give us His only begotten Son, or to offer up is the way it's worded. That means it's a sacrificial offering, Lamb of God. And let His own Son suffer in our place so that we could be forgiven and God could be just in forgiving us, because He judged our sins in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible said it pleased God to bruise Him and crush Him. Not that God wanted to see Him hurt. I believe God had to turn His face away. I believe that's why Jesus cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which in the Aramaic and being interpreted Greek as well, it means, my God, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? When I die, when you die as a Christian, the Bible said in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. He's going to be right there with us. Christ is going to be with us. I believe angels, the Bible speaks of angels taking men's soul and bearing them to the presence of God. We've been in rooms praying with people that were passing and sensed the presence of angels. We didn't see anything, but it was an awesome experience to sense the presence of God, the presence of angels in the room. But when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, He died as a God-forsaken sinner. He had no comfort. Why hast thou forsaken me? But He stayed on the cross until He could say, Tetelestai. One word that meant, it is accomplished. It is finished. What an awesome thing. Not just that our King would die for us, but that our God, the second person of the Godhead, of the triune God, would take on flesh so He could go to the cross. If you think He just came to lay in the manger, if He had stayed in the manger, He could save no one. A beautiful, pure baby that was very God couldn't save nobody by laying in a manger. But when He became 33 years old, He made the journey from the manger, growing up, when the fullness of time was come, He made that journey to the cross for you and for me. And when He did, God said, there's a brand new covenant in place. And if you keep offering these sin offerings of the old covenant, they are meaningless now. He died once for all. Can you say amen? Everyone can be saved. Everyone will not, but everyone is invited. And what a joy it is to be a preacher of that good news this morning on this Father's Day. Romans 8:32, I got to drop this thing. I don't drop this thing. It costs too much. Can you say amen? But, and this one, I'm going to drop it gently because actually it's usable. I done ruined my mic drop. I don't think so. Not after you hear the 32nd verse. If He loved us enough, did He? Did He? Did He? I want you to accept this full reality today. If He loved us enough to offer up His only Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Does that make logical, reasonable sense to you? If He's given that is His most precious and His very best, would He heal you? Would He hear you when you cry unto Him? Would He help you when you're in need? You talk about a boon to your faith. If you get a hold of this, it'll get a hold of you. Then you say, amen. When I go to my Heavenly Father, amen. He said, if you as a father without any kind of divinity, without any kind of personal holiness, if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Heretofore you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive. Can you say, man? I do not say that I shall pray for you, for the Father Himself loveth you. You have access to God, and you need to operate that access that you have. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can come into the presence of God. I forgot. I lost my moment. My wife was right. I'm going to save it for a better moment. But that's end of story. If He loved us enough. All right, well, let's go home. That's why He gave it to me. He's going to drop that mic and we're out of here. Hang on just a moment. I'm looking at people this morning that have heard this all your life. That's a problem. When it becomes a given, it no longer moves you. When it becomes a given, the Lord's Prayer doesn't astound you, and grace is no longer amazing. It's just a given. Jesus died for me. It's a given. No. 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 It's awesome. Listen to what the Scripture says just before we close today. I'm going to start the closing now. I've got 5 or 6 closings. But let's begin here. Matthew 6:9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. It's called the Lord's Prayer. But He said, this is how you're supposed to pray. I've started using the introduction to the Lord's Prayer in the blessing over my food. Why would you do that? Because it's just personal. I'm not telling you to make it longer than it needs to be or try to be some kind of super holy. I'm just telling you, I'm asking Him in Jesus' name to bless it. But I'm asking Him, my Heavenly Father, and His name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Can you say amen? Start with an acknowledgement of your paternal relationship with Him because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Start there. You know why the first love begins to wax cold and let iniquity abound? Because we get over what caused the first love to be kindled in the first place. I've been praying for a lot of Christians to have a revival in their life, in their heart, to rekindle the flame of the first love. And you know what I'm discovering? There are people that name the name of Jesus that obviously the first love has not been kindled in the first place. How do you know, Brother Venable? Because the Scripture says, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. Will you do it perfectly? No. But you will seek to obey God. You'll have a heart to obey God. Amen. And you'll struggle with that. Your flesh will have to be crucified to follow Him. That means you'll have to overrule it and you'll have to override it in order to take up your cross. And what is taking up your cross? Crucifying the flesh and the lust thereof. Amen. That's your spiritual crucifixion. But what does it release? It releases the power and presence of God and the person of God in your heart and in your life. Amen. So if the first love is there, obedience is what marks that. If a man love me, he will. He wills to. He wants to. And God's going to help you. If you've got the heart to follow Christ, heaven will help you do that. The Holy Spirit will help you do that. If you've got the heart to obey God, you will have heaven's resources to obey God. The Holy Spirit is in you to empower you for that very purpose. But you've got to have a heart to do it and the will to do it because He won't overrule or override your will. Can you say amen? When He came to Ephesus in the book of Revelation, He commended them. I mean, they were sticklers for truth. And the commendations were long. He said, all the thing, you're checking out people that say they're apostles and are not. You found them to be liars and you're standing on the truth. You're enduring the persecution for following Jesus. And they're just standing there, you know, really being commended. And it must have shocked them when he said, but I have somewhat against you. And they're sitting, what could it possibly be? We got all of these allocates from you. He said, you've left your first love. You're doing the right thing, but you're no longer doing it from the heart. Man looks where? On the outward appearance. Where's God looking? He's looking on the heart. Listen, when he sees you have a heart to obey, he will help you to obey. If you have a will to serve him, he will help you with the weakness of your flesh, because he doesn't have any expectations of you accomplishing in your flesh what you can only accomplish through his presence and power in your life. That's why he gave you power through the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Old Testament prophet said, I am full of power by the Spirit of God. Amen. So he tells them, begin your prayer with this paternal relationship. And how important is this? Growing up in the Lord, loving him, having the first love rekindled. Listen to Galatians 4, 1 through 7. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons. Ladies, this includes you. You have a relationship with God in Christ. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free. We're one in Jesus. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's intimacy. That's personal. That's a precise knowledge of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. It's not hanging your head, always being self-deprecating. It's raising up your head, not in pride, but in great humility, but great confidence. Now, it doesn't appear what we shall be, but now we are the sons of God. And sons can cry Abba. And sons become automatically heirs of God. Remember the song? We don't have it this morning. I am a child of God. I used to sing. Back when I had a better singing voice, I about preached that voice away. I don't know if it was ever that good. Maybe I could sing, be a blues singer. But I didn't come to sing the blues, praise God. I come to sing the praises of God, the goodness of God, the greatness of God. But I used to sing, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my vein. And I who was wretched and lost now can say, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. And if you exempt yourself from this as a Christian, you're violating the Scripture, because the Scripture declares we are all the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There, God has no stepchildren. God has no one in His kingdom that He doesn't acknowledge as His child. There's no one in His kingdom that cannot cry, Abba, Father. For he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Our Father should bowl us over. our Father, the fact that Jesus did what he did so we could be in that kind of position before God, should cause the first love to burn bright inside every child of God. When the first love is burning, that's what he told Ephesus. He said, you've left your first love. And he said, this is totally unacceptable to me. Repent and do your first. Remember first, if you've ever had it, remember how it was when you had it. And don't wait for feelings. Do what you did when it was burning brightest. Do your first works. Do your first works. Remember how you used to love to come to church? Couldn't wait for the doors to open. First love. No one shamed you into it. No one forced you into it. I mean, I was drugged to church before I became a Christian, but after I became a Christian, I couldn't wait to get there. They made me superintendent of Sunday school. I didn't even know what all that was about. You know what my job was? Get there early, open up the Sunday school rooms. But I had the first love. I'm going to do something for God. Open up the Sunday school rooms, sharpen the pencils. I sharpened the pencils when I did it for Jesus, in Jesus' name. Man, I put that pencil in there, and this is the old time, not the electric ones. I was faster than the electric ones. That electric one don't do it for God's glory. I'm doing it for God's glory. I put that pencil in there. I'm going to give it another zzz because I love the Lord. I serve him heartily. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I emptied the garbage. Praise God. Reached down in that old garbage can and got the gum out with my bare hands. Didn't even use gloves. Amen. Made sure I didn't pick my nose after I did that. Germs. I didn't do that. I'm sorry. I'm happy today. Forgive me for being so happy in Jesus. I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm glad to know my Father. Hallelujah. To you fathers, I preach to you and I speak to you because you've known him that is from the beginning. You've come into a relationship of intimacy with the Father. And that's what I have designed all of this to accomplish. He was going to be taken up. He was going to go up and sit at God's right hand positionally until his enemies be made his footstool. And what were the disciples going to do? They ran to Jesus for everything. He said, I want you to grow and I want you to know that you have a relationship with God just like I do. You are not divine, and that's the glory of it. You are not perfect, and yet you have a perfect standing with God when you come to Christ as your Savior. And Jesus prayed the Lord's prayers around John 17 and so forth. He said, Father, don't take them out of the world. Don't take them out of the world. We'd be taking the salt and the light. But keep them from the evil one. And he said, Father, there's something else I want you to do for them. I want you to love them with the same love. Say it with me, the same love. This is supposed to bowl you over. This is supposed to either kindle or rekindle the first love. I want you to love them with the same love wherewith you have loved me. I understand why God loved his son. He was obedient to the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He was perfect and sin free. But for Jesus to pray that we be loved on that level is absolutely incredible. That's why the song was written, Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I have somewhat against you with all these things I commended you for. You're not doing it from the heart anymore. You're mechanically, methodically serving me, and it really looks good until I look deeper. And he always looks deeper. Says you've left your first love. Remember. Start with remembering what it was like when it was burning brightest. And do and repent. If you go back into the same pattern that you're in when you leave here, and the first love is not already burning brightly, that pattern will get you into a routine, a religious routine. And it will look good because there you are in the pew or the chair on Sunday. There you sit. God sees me sitting right there. I got my foot in the door in case I need a miracle. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, just sitting in here without serving Jesus is not the same thing. The same old rut, the same old routine. I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Repent. How do you repent? By making a U-turn. Beginning to do what you used to do when it was burning brightest. You say, I don't feel that in me. I felt it then. It was easy to do that. I know you've drifted a long way. You're going to have to come a long way back, but it starts with the first step, and the first step of repentance is doing the right thing and quit doing the wrong thing. Do your first works. Remember when you read the Bible? Just because you wanted to hear Him through the Word speak to you? Remember when you had a desire to worship Him? Hallelujah. Remember when you didn't have to be shamed into coming to church? You couldn't wait for the doors to open because you had a heart to worship Him. You had a heart to praise Him. You had a heart for the Word of God. Hallelujah. And because you had a heart for it, you had a good ground heart. And when the seed got in it, it brought forth fruit. 30, 60, and 100-fold. And you became sweeter and kinder and more patient with people. And God could use you, amen, to be a witness for Him and a witness unto Him. First love. And what stimulates the first love? The Scripture said it's cause and effect. We love Him because He first loved us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How are we to respond to love like this? I grew up in the 50s. Paul put it this way, way before the 50s. He said, what manner of love is this? He was shocked by it, overwhelmed by it. What kind of love, what manner of love is this that we might be called the sons of God? Angels are called the sons of God by creation. We're called the sons of God by relation to Him. I'm looking around the room. I don't see any angels. I don't see anyone trying to fit their halo through the door when you came in. I didn't have to fold my wings close to get through the door. How about you and your wings? In fact, I don't have any wings. That's the glory. That's the glory of the gospel story. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Who are we that we could call the God of creation our Savior? Oh, yes. Call him our King. Oh, yes. Call Him, amen, our monarch. Call Him. All of these titles that would exalt Him to the highest place. Hallowed be Thy name. And then, because of the relationship we have in Him and with Him through Jesus Christ, Abba, Father. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? Let me finish this very quickly. The heir, in Galatians 4, 1 through 7, now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That means influenced, governed by our flesh. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, I'm going to give you one more chance to say it like you mean it. Crying. Listen to Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. You're getting a hold of it. Let it get a hold of you today. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. And hold on to your seat. And joint heirs with Christ. And joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said that we have been seated with Him. Oh, by the way, it says also that being a joint heir with Jesus is not getting all the benefits of it, but it's getting the blessing of persecution. I know that would calm you down so y'all could finish the message. The blessing of persecution. Blessed are ye when all men shall speak evil of you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when they cast out your name as evil and speak lies on you. Anybody in here ever been lied on? Anybody in here ever lied on someone? Okay, just checking. I'm just running it through, see how it... Listen, if before you get caught up in all that's yours, realize that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. For all those that live godly after Christ Jesus, I'm going to say this to you, shall suffer persecution. Are you suffering persecution? Then rejoice and be exceedingly glad, not because it feels good, but because great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be identified with Him. I'm glad to be on His side when the question is posed to me, who is on the Lord's side among you? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified together. Scriptures actually say if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. We're going to rule with Him. And the Bible said that we are seated with Him in heavenly places or realms. What does it mean to be seated with Him? The actual Greek says joint seating. I don't have time for this other teaching, but let me just kind of open it up today. The average Christian today is not an Abba Father Christian. The average Christian today does not share that intimate relationship with the Father because we haven't matured past the baby stage and we start choking on the meat. How can you tell if someone is choking on the meat? Because you tell these glorious things and they're nonchalant. It's like that is way beyond my spiritual goal. That's way beyond my spiritual reality. I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You have been saved by grace. And you may feel toe up from the flow up. But right now, sitting here, whether you enjoy the benefit or employ the benefit, you are a child of the Most High God. And you have the glorious privilege of beginning your relationship in prayer with Him by acknowledging your relationship to Him, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed. With no disrespect, hallowed be thy name. And bowing before Him, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you start praying in the will of God, things are going to happen. But our confidence in Him is based on praying according to His will. And it starts with surrendering to it, not just looking for a promise to get what you want or what you think you need. God knows what you need. Wouldn't it be great if Christians came in and came in rejoicing because of the relationship they have with Him? Came in with zeal and enthusiasm instead of being beleaguered, beaten down and battered, and needing someone to kind of be a cheerleader to try to get them to have some semblance of real, genuine, white-hot love for Him, that we would praise Him, not only for His greatness, but for His goodness and His amazing grace. Without the first love, you're drifting. Though it looks like you're doing all the things that the Christian faith requires of you. You're drifting. You're drifting. You're drifting. That's what is feeding the falling away of the last days. Many false prophets will go out into the earth. They will deceive many. And because iniquity, lawlessness, sinfulness shall abound, the love, you had to have a relationship, and it had to be a first love relationship in order for that love to cool down. The love of many will wax cold. That has nothing to do with the pagan world, the sinful world. This has distinctly to do with His church and His children. No one is expected to love God that hasn't received Christ as their Savior. No one. But if we have received Jesus as our Savior, God expects us to love Him back for loving us that much. Amen. And when that love begins to wax cold, you know what the church does? As I get ready to close, I was going to look at my watch because I'm a merciful preacher. 12:25. I'm doing pretty good so far. What happens when the first love waxes cold? The love of many will wax cold. That love for the Word is gone. It's just a time-consuming part of the service. That love for worship is gone. I show up, go through the motions, but my heart is not in it. My heart has grown cold. Well, here's the good news. Jesus said, I can change that. You can change that. You can start doing what you used to do, and what you used to feel will come back. But you don't wait to feel it to do it. Open your Bible. God will speak to you. Amen. Take time in your day to just praise Him, and God's presence will be manifest to you. Amen. Come with an expectant spirit to church, to fellowship with the brethren and to fellowship with God, and you're going to find yourself experiencing Him again. And you'll get out of that cubicle of religiosity that just lives in that religious vacuum, and you will rekindle the flame of the first love. And when it is rekindled, it will burn within you. Praise God. It will be a fire shut up in your bone. It'll be something that all of the forces of the devil cannot put out in you. The persecution will not put it out. Can you say amen? You will rejoice again. And since we're on that subject, the Bible says rejoice again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why reiterate it? Because we begin to drift away. It becomes so obvious that we can no longer rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Let him be the joy of your heart, the joy of your life. Hallelujah. Delight thyself in the Lord. He will give you the desire of your heart. Because the desire of your heart will line up with his will and purpose for your life. Delight in the Hebrew is to be soft and pliable. That's the root, fundamental foundation of that word delight. To be soft and pliable. I want what he wants. I will what he wills. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. My Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Let's close with this today. The heir, as long as he's a child, can't come into his inheritance. And that's why Paul kept trying to get young Christians, baby Christians, to become mature and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Till they became young men, feeling their oats, feeling their strength, beginning to graduate from milk to meat. Cat come to our house. Poor old emaciated cat. Big-hearted me. I decided that cat is crying. Bony. I need to feed that cat. Just once. Until it can find itself a home. Lord, Lord, I'm learning still. After all of these years, I'm learning still. The cat came to our home, and I fed the poor old bony starving cat. People had moved out of a house. Some dogs died in it. They abandoned all of their pets, and they spread out in the community. This cat was feral, but when I fed it, it fell in love with me. You know about cats. How long did your cat live? 23 years. I keep telling him, get yourself another cat. That cat loved him. He'd go off on a trip, come home, the cat put his nose right up to his nose and go like that. And he's embarrassed by it. I'd be so happy to have a cat love me like that. Anyway, princess, right? All right. Amen. So the cat loved me back. Cat wasn't totally feral, evidently, because when I fed her, then I would come out the door, and here she come, rubbing up against my legs and looking up at me. And I thought, boy, I'll feed you some milk. I'll get some real milk today. And the cat lapped up the milk. There's some chicken left over, canned chicken here, that I'll give her that. And she'll just keep loving me back. I kept feeding her with milk. And then after a while, she wanted the meat. Then after a while, she's a little tiny, miniature-looking cat. And she got real fat. And I thought, I'm not feeding her that much. That's not from eating too many cheeseburgers. Can you say amen? Something in the water. I don't know. And here, first thing that happens, she brings the other cats in the neighborhood. There's two other cats show up. We named one of them, who we were sure was a male, we named him Pepper. And her Pumpkin. Pumpkin and Pepper. Don't feed them. Don't name them. They say if you're raising a cow, a beef cow to eat, do not name that cow. Because when it sits on your table, you're going to see your pet. We don't want to eat our pets, right? And then we hear these little voices after a while. Oh, I backed up the car, and underneath the car, here's kittens. Here's kittens. Where did they come from? Now I got to feed the cat. She's going to feed the kittens. And I thought it was over. Okay, we can deal with that. We'll find a home for the kitten. Still trying. Anyone want a kitten? Anyone want a kitten? Look at everybody saying, You're smarter than me. And we thought it was over. And then Pepper, the guy we thought, has two kittens. And we got to have some cats spayed while we're looking for them a home. And all the cat rescue places, guess what? They have no room for any more cats. So we have become a cat rescue place. And when I get up in the morning, they're right there looking at the door. Here he comes. I fed them with milk, but they grew. I fed them with meat. They became mature. Paul said, I feed you with milk because you couldn't handle the meat. But you can't stay on the milk of the Word and grow spiritually. You have to graduate. I speak unto you, babes, because you've come to know Him, Christ, as your Savior. You don't know the Father. You don't know who you are in Jesus or who He is in you. But you know that He has forgiven your sin. I fed you with milk. I speak unto you, young men, because now you're eating, you're graduating. Because now you recognize you have power. That's the mark of a young man, is his strength. You have power over the enemy. Rejoice not because the enemy is subject to you. Here's maturity. Rejoice primarily because your name is written in the book of life. And then go on to know the Father. I speak unto you, fathers, because you've known Him that is from the beginning. You have known the Father personally and intimately. And they that do know their God shall be what? Strong and do what? Exploits. And that's exactly what the book of Acts is all about. Those are the exploits of those who became literally fathers of the faith, the apostles. Amen. But it didn't stop with them. It's supposed to be an ongoing process of growing and maturing in the Lord. The devil would be trembling today if he knew that you knew the God of glory enough, and who you are in Christ enough, and who Christ is in you enough to have absolute authority over Him in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what He wants for you. And He wants every person on this planet to be saved. It's not His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. It's not His will. No such thing as predestining you to be lost from the day that you were born. That's not biblical. That is not scriptural. That is a truth. That is an untruth that people hold as truth. That's election instead of selection. He selected you to be saved because the Lamb that was slain to save you was in His mind, His heart, and His purpose from the foundation of the world. Jesus was not an afterthought. Hallelujah. He was in the heart of God to save from the very beginning, because when He gave us a sovereign will, He knew that we could abuse it and misuse it. And He put a safety net. There's a Redeemer. And even in the, I believe it's almost the most, chronologically, the most ancient book in the Bible is the book of Job. And what brought him through his troubles and still gave him hope when all reason for hope was gone. I know my Redeemer lives. Yeah. Hallelujah. At the last day, He's going to stand upon this earth. And when He stands up upon this earth, though I'm dead, buried, and I'm going to get real gross here for a minute, and the skin worms eat all the flesh off of my bones, That's pretty gross, isn't it? Yet in my flesh, that resurrection is going to put bone back to bone, flesh back on bones. Praise God, reconstitute that that has been nothing but dust and bring it back to life again. When He stands, I'm going to stand with Him. I'm going to see Him for myself. Not another's going to see Him for me. I'm going to see Him, and I'm going to see Him in my flesh, even though the worms eat it and excrete it and wherever it goes from there. But when He stands up and comes again, my Redeemer is going to raise me up. Thank God for the resurrection that far back in the old covenant and the revelation of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What's it worth to be a child of the Most High God? We took a missionary, and this is really closing. Notice, this is in my hand. We took a missionary to Miami. Bunch of clothes for people in Jamaica at that time. Our first mission outreach was Jamaica. We borrowed my stepdad's pickup truck. We had enough money to get enough gas to get there and get back. We did not have enough money to eat. So we were in kind of a forced fast. and we were on our way, and thunderstorms come and threatened to, the tarp wasn't enough to cover. And I remember the missionary, we were following the missionary in a car and another lady, and she was praying that the thunderstorms wouldn't rain on us, and it didn't. But it put us way behind the Miami airport. And it's getting dark. And we're hungry. And we pulled into a motel. And we're wondering, we can't afford a motel. Are we going to sleep in the truck? I don't know the whole scenario, but I do know this. There was a man that met us at the motel that knew her, that took care of the rooms for us that night. What a coinkadink, as Popeye would say. Coincidence? No, it's God's provision. We begin to learn how He could provide. He was a Spirit-filled veterinarian. I wish He didn't live way down there near Miami. I wish He lived close here. I'd take them cats over there and take care of business. He invited us to his home. For supper, we are in a motel room. We're eating supper at this nice home. He's telling us stories of how God would speak to him what to do to get help an animal, because he's led of the Holy Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. I didn't have a freedom of speaking in tongues. And he took me on the back porch and began to pray with me, and God loosed my prayer language. Wow, this is great. We got back to the motel room excited about Jesus. I was able to just fluently bring praise and adoration to God. And I was so thrilled. And the enemy showed up, because this is a power gift. And I'm not going to tell you the details, because it scared us. I know it would scare you. It was scary, man. And when we realized we were under an attack of the enemy, because he knew there was a call upon my life to preach the gospel, and he didn't like it. He showed up in that motel room, my wife and I, in our private room, and this entity was in that room. And I can't explain it, but I'm telling you, talking about the hair on your arm standing up, making your skin crawl. Even if it was an angel from the Lord, you still would have an experience of something that is so overwhelming when you move into that supernatural realm. But the Spirit of God was in me, rose up in me. I brought the first message in tongues in my life in that motel room. And the Bible says, if you speak in tongues, pray that you might also interpret, just in case there's no interpreter present. And gave the interpretation, and the interpretation was along the line of, Do not fear the enemy. The greater one is living in you. Stand up in me and stand your ground in me and take authority. And I took authority over the devil in the name of Jesus. I was green as the grass. I don't know where I was between the milk and the meat, but I was getting an experience that was going to cause me want to get some more meat. If it meat makes you stronger, give me some more. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it left. Suddenly it was gone. And we knew it was gone. And we knew the authority of the name of Jesus Christ over all of the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't get me started. It's time to stop. You're a good audience today. We know what we're up against. But they that do know their God, it makes all the difference in the world. We woke up the next morning hungry for breakfast. Had no money for breakfast. The missionary said, "If we've got the money now, let's go whatever, I don't remember, IHOP, I think it was, and have breakfast." I said, "We don't have any money for breakfast." She said, "That's covered. God's taking care of that." Wow. We got a place to stay. We got a meal. Oh, by the way, there was carrot cake for dessert. I mean, he's the God who is more than enough. Cream cheese icing. God is good. Hallelujah. It didn't rain on us. Got to the airport. Sent the things. Got enough gas to get home. Wow. But came home with an experience of God's provision, the name of Jesus, the authority of it, the victory over the enemy. Hallelujah. And the next morning we got up and listen, we had no toiletries. We had no, we just, our clothes, right. We just didn't feel like we could walk in a restaurant, you know, feeling so kind of grungy. We could bathe, but we couldn't put on fresh clothes. And so we said, you know, go ahead. You know, we'll wait. And she said, "No, come on." I said, "Well, we haven't even got a change of clothes." She said, "Listen, we are the children of the Most High God. We're the grungy children of the Most High God." Hallelujah. Amen. We squared our shoulders and went in, not feeling like some second-class people because we're helping a missionary get some stuff to another nation of people in need. Amen. Not having enough money in our pocket to buy our own breakfast, not having a change of clothes. But I'm going to tell you, I kept my arms down like this and ate like I was on an airplane. You understand what I'm saying? But I felt, I did not feel unworthy, amen, to walk in there with whoever was driving the Cadillac, whoever is wearing, amen, the nice duds, because I am a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. God is good today, and He loves you today, and He wants every person on this planet to become His children. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? We're getting ready to close. I don't want to live in a self-deprecating, poor old me, pity me, existence as a child of the Most High God. I want to represent my King and His kingdom. I want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ today. And I want you to know, if you are cast down, He will come and save you and help you, no matter what it is. Let's give Him praise as we get ready to close. Is there anyone here that doesn't know the Lord and you would like to know him at the end of this song, we'll have an opportunity to do that if you would like to. If he's drawing you. The praise zone. Is there anyone in this room that would like to know Christ as your Savior? Just by the lifting of your hand, we'd love to pray with you to give you that opportunity. Anyone in this room? Hallelujah. To know that you know Christ as your Savior. Amen. Would you like to pray personally or right where you stand? Who is it? Are you coming back to that first love, or are you coming to get that first love? First coming to get it. Let's believe God together. Amen. I prayed for my second son in the old van the other day because he's a good guy. He's just the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. And you would assume if you met him that he's been a Christian all his life. And this is a good gal right here. Amen. I mean, she's not perfect, but she's a good gal. Grew up in our Sunday school department. Amen. Sweet, respectful to the ministry and to the Lord. But today, she wants to know that she knows that God is her Heavenly Father because Jesus Christ is her Savior and her Sovereign today. And I thank God for what He's doing. Amen. In this day that we are living, let's believe God together. Would you just say it with me? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. From this moment forward, I do not walk alone. I have you with me every step of the way. And when this life is over, I will go live with you forever because you are now my shepherd. You are now my king. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So I'm not only her preacher, her pastor, I'm her brother now. And I never had a sister to pick on. Now I got one. Hallelujah. Another one. God is good today. Let's give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? God has called you. Listen, this is not your last opportunity unless something happens unforeseen. But the opportunity stands today. God would not close the book of Revelation until a last call was made. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And the Spirit says, come. The drawing of the Holy Spirit. And the bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Hallelujah. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit to draw as we declare the good news of Jesus today. You know what just happened in heaven this morning? There was joy. It wasn't just angels shouting. The Bible said when one sinner, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but when one sinner comes to Jesus, I don't believe any bad news gets into heaven. If CNN got into heaven, or Fox or anybody else, all the news in this world is bad. It wouldn't be heaven anymore. They don't get that channel up there. But when a sinner gets saved, one is all it takes to make news in heaven. And the Bible said there's joy in the presence of angels. Amen. That means the saints that have went on before, it makes news to them. Amen. Grandpa and Grandma are clapping their hands and shouting hallelujah. Glory to God. not because they're in heaven yet, but you know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Great-grandpa, great-grandma is shouting and clapping their hands over one. That means God the Father, God the Son, the 24 elders, and those that have preceded us to heaven. When that news hits, they say, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Another saint of God is in the kingdom of God, saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and safe from the wrath to come. Oh, glory, hallelujah. What a Savior that we serve today. Give God a good clap offering for His work in this room this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not the only first love person rekindling. Here's a kindled one. Amen. Give her a good hug and amen again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the kingdom of God today. It's Father's Day. I don't know what else special my wife is going to do for me, but I know she's got something so special planned for me. It's going to just overwhelm me. Actually, she bought my Father's Day dinner last night, because after preaching, I'm not real good at eating a big full meal, because I have kind of preached all of that. My stomach is still preaching for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. God is good. Thank you for coming, celebrating Father's Day. You are growing. You were a babe. I believe we're moving into that maturity, and I believe God is going to accelerate that as we keep receiving the Word of God. Desire it, the sincere milk to begin with, but keep desiring it that you might grow thereby. And we do have an offering tray here. We'd ask you to bring it, because I don't like the idea of taking an offering. I like the idea, if you have something that to give today, we receive it, we bless it for the glory and the honor of God. Thank you once again. And everyone that will receive this particular scripture will say amen at the end of it. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Aren't you glad that's in the Bible? Can you say amen? Go and drink the Eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Enjoy Father's Day in Jesus' name.